Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. Poet and thought leader Dylan Mills was in Luxembourg on the 4th of April this year, where he shared with admirers in an intimate venue that everybody says, I've got to get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. If you recognise those words, you probably know Dylan by his stage name, Dizzy Rascal. I had a great time at Dinatelier that night, and I'm impressed by the quality of music performers that come through the Grand Duchy, which got me thinking, how do we get such great acts? How does the music scene in Luxembourg work? And is Dinatelier safe from the development in Nye Hollerich? To help me answer these questions and more, I'm joined by Michelle Velter, Managing Partner at A Promotions and Dinatelier.
Hi there.
Help me understand the big picture of music venues in Luxembourg.
Well, we operate the Lux Expo Open Air.
Okay.
Which is a series of open air concerts that we organise right outside the Lux Expo. The Luxembourg Open Air being dance festival, smaller capacity, I think twice a year. On various locations, the last one being Metzeschmelz in Esch. But we operate, as I said, Luxembourg Open Air, which is a 16,000 capacity open air venue. You know, we occupy the premises for 2 week periods in July.
Okay, and that's the biggest event, is it?
I would say paying, it's probably the biggest event. Now, I'm not sure, on Glossy you have the celebrations for the national holiday that go on right around national holiday, the 23rd of June. These are free events, so I wouldn't really compare free events to paying events because it's a different approach. The events in Glossy are, I think, bigger than 16,000 capacity. So this is our biggest capacity.
And I think I saw next year Jamiroquai is coming in headlining.
Exactly,
is that right?
That's so the first announcement, the first. Announcement that we did for our open air shows in 26.
You said there are dance festivals as well.
Yes, that's not operated by us. That's called LOA. That's the Luxembourg Open Air. It's a privately run company. Met the bloke. They're very, very nice and motivated people. And they operate this dance festival. So it's really electronic music. I think the capacity is around, I might be mistaken, 6,000 per day. And they operate these two events throughout the year.
Lux Expo Open Air and LOA are different things then. They're not the same, even though they've got the same initials.
Luxembourg Open Air is really an event, and Lux Expo Open Air to us is only a venue. And we always try to have as many venues as possible in our, let's call it, venue roster. And open air locations are definitely getting more and more important. So it was important for us ever since, to have a big open air venue. This is now the fifth or the sixth time that we occupy the area right outside of Lux Expo. To us, that's really it's a venue. And then we try to bring acts to that location. So that's what we call it. That's why it's called only a headline show. So it's not a festival. It's not a brand that you create No, it's really only a venue and you put on a headline show. As just as you would attend a show at Atelier, for instance, or Roll Call.
Do you worry about the weather? Have you had any washouts?
Of course. Do you see my hair thinning right here? No, it's the element that is not under control.
Well, hopefully we'll get a good summer. So let's dance around some of the other venues then. So Rock Hall is one of the big venues. So how does Rock Hall operate? What's the background of that?
I was part of Rock Hall, actually. They are celebrating now 20 years. I joined Rock Hall right from the beginning before the venue actually opened, stayed there for two years. And then I joined the Atelier. It's a competitor, let's put that out, and then it's said it's a competitor and they operate differently. It's an établissement public, as you may know. It's sort of this weird status in between public and private, publicly funded organization, but it's run as a private company more or less. It's in a weird situation where we are sometimes in competition for a commercial event with a public actor.
Yeah.
That's just
strange.
To me, it's just strange. That being said, I think Rock Hall has brought a lot to Luxembourg because it was really a game changer. And I think that needs to be acknowledged by everybody.
If you look, just from the size and the having that bigger venue?
Yes, but not only. If you look back, we are celebrating 30 years this year. We opened in 95. Prior to 95, there were some events happening, but they were on either one-off locations or sports halls or whatever, and you had Culture Fabric in Escher Alsatz. You had a few other venues. I'm probably missing out on some. You know, I was a teenager back then, and those were the locations I went to, or we went to shady bars, which were very cool. I sometimes feel nostalgic about these periods. But that was the landscape you had in venues, and that was very poor, let's be honest. Mm. And that's why you didn't have that many shows in Luxembourg. The Atelier was created in 95. Rockall came soon afterwards, 10 years afterwards. And 2005 was really a change in the Luxembourgish landscape. Mm. It brought not only a second club like the Atelier, but it brought the 6,000 capacity venue. It gives you the opportunity to present another offer to bigger artists. Yeah. We are in a love-hate relationship with Rockall, and I think today, where this birthday is celebrated, it's a love relationship.
Yeah. So there's Rockall, 6,000 capacity, then Den Atelier, which is the one you're most closely associated with. And you mentioned Culture Fabric. So Den Atelier is in Hollerich, Rue de Hollerich in the city. Culture Fabric in Esch?
It's really an icon in the Luxembourgish cultural and music scene, because it used to be a squat, as you say in French. So it used to be an illegal occupation back in the 90s, maybe even earlier, where it was really a cultural meeting point, gathering of all sorts. And it was really more punk oriented, and it had a tremendous and energetic scene in the 90s, which I was very, very, I'm actually proud. I was a very small part of it.
So you're a punk rocker originally, is that your journey?
Yes, I am. Very bad at it, but I was. And I think that was probably one of the first contacts I have with really live music and the energy, and that really got me into it and probably really also interested in it from a professional point of view.
And then there's the new kid on the block as well, Grid X.
I am definitely not the specialist in venues in Luxembourg, but if you ask me, Grid X is a multi-purpose venue. That's probably one of the biggest complexes Luxembourg has, because it's not only a venue, it's actually probably more other stuff than the actual venue. It's a complex that consists of a food court, of shops, of automobile garages, car sales points, there's a hotel, and there's the venue. And that's basically a venue, multi-purpose venue, which is comparable, I would say, to the club of the Rockall, maybe even a bit bigger. It has, just as Atelier 2, it has a balcony that goes around. So I think the opening was actually last week, and I thought it was a nice venue. We have to see how it's going to be operated. We have announced our first show there next year, Alvaro Soler. So we have to take the first steps cautiously, because there's still some organizational questions that I have and that haven't been answered. But I think it's going to be an interesting addition to all the different venues, because it's from a capacity point of view, it's an interesting addition.
My worry about it is transport. So it's so easy to get to Den Atelier by the Gare at Luxembourg, and it's easy to get to Rockall, which is obviously at the station in Belvalesh. That's a good addition, though. And then there's some smaller places as well, the Goudeville and the Rotonde. And the reason I'm asking you about some of these things, because not only do you operate a venue, Den Atelier, but I think you're also involved in promotion. Is that right?
Yeah, we are what the Anglo-Saxon people would call a concert promoter. So we don't understand ourselves as a venue. We understand ourselves as a concert promoter. Yes, of course, we have a venue. And it's our beloved venue, and it's our home base. But we organize around, I would say, 180 shows per year. We sell in excess of 220,000 tickets per year. And not even half of those tickets are tickets for shows organized at the Atelier. If you take our turnover, it's probably less than 35%, the bulk that represents the Atelier. But we do love our home base. And it's very important. It's a very important element of our booking. You need to understand, if you are in touch with an agent, the agent doesn't have one artist, he has a couple of artists, and he might have an established artist and newly signed artist. So you want to be able to suggest to him first show in Luxembourg at, say, Rotonde, And then when it works well, you take it up one step and you go to atelier or whatever. So yeah. You want to have a festival, you want to have a big open airs, you want to small, big, etc. So I think that's very important to us. And I think the club scene is an essential part of what we do. And I think it's an essential part of the city of Luxembourg, hell, even the country.
Yeah. So you're 2/3 a promoter, 1/3 a venue operator, I think you said, in terms of revenues. And then you started talking about agents. So how does this all come together in terms of who are the players involved? And do the artists play the venue so they can play at them and keep the ticket sales? Like, how do the relationships between all these players come together?
Money.
Which way does the money go? And who's left not having
always,
any?
It always goes into the artist's pocket, always. Really? Yeah, sure. So basically, we contact the agent, and because we have heard or read or we know that there's a tour being put together. So we say, hey, would you be interested in a suggestion for Luxembourg? And then I would say one times out of two, he says, yeah, maybe, send an offer. So we basically give him an evaluation of his artist in our market.
Yeah.
Meaning we suggest you play this venue at this ticket price, because we know the market, we know which venues there are, and we have experience, so we know what kind of ticket price we can suggest. We look at past shows, past tours of the artist, so we sort of align with everything, and then the agent coordinates all these offers throughout Europe.
So then the ticket sales, who do they go to? Do they, or is it different? Do they always go to the artist? Does it go 50-50 to the artist and the venue? Or?
No, the ticket sales always go to the promoter, but in fine, they end up in the artist's pocket to, I would now say, 85%.
Okay.
Well, I'm talking international acts of some stature. You basically offer a guarantee versus a percentage of the net.
Okay.
So he's always interested in the profit. Let me explain why. We booked, I don't know how many years ago, I would say 10 or 15 years ago, a band called MFAO. Thank God they don't exist anymore.
I'm crazy and I know it. Is that the guys?
Exactly.
Yeah, Redfoo. Okay, yeah.
So we booked it into the atelier. In the end, we sold out two Rock Hall 6,000 capacity and an after show at the atelier. Imagine they would not have an interest in the net profit. So they do get a guarantee, I don't know, 10,000 euros versus X percent of the net profit. So they always get their money. They always get the guarantee. If you sold two tickets or 2,000 tickets, it's always that guarantee. And then you look at the budget, the actual spend. You make a budget, you compile it on the day of the show, and then you say, is not 85% bigger than the guarantee or not? If it's bigger, he gets something on top.
So you're holding the risk then, the promoter. So if there are no ticket sales, you have to pay the venue?
The artist never has the risk, the commercial risk, never.
Is it with the venue as well or all with the promoter?
The venue always gets the rental.
Ah, so
it's... So the promoter is the only person in the whole conundrum that has actually a commercial risk if the show doesn't sell.
Interesting. So we've talked about how the business side of the promotion works. How about running the venue? Do you get limits? Are there sound limits? Like, who works in the venue? Tell me about Denatelia and how many people work there.
Well, we have two companies. A group. Okay. No, I have to laugh because we are like a dozen employees, the two companies altogether. So it's a stupid joke. But we have two companies. We have the old company, the old missus, it's called Den Atelier SRL, which is the old company that was created in 95 when the venue started. And we have A Promotions, which is the company I have the pleasure to run. And A Promotion is really doing booking, the marketing, the ticketing, and the production of the show. Den Atelier is really bound to Rue de Hollerich. So it has the commercial lease on the building and it operates the venue. So we have a separate company for it, but it's run by a very small amount of people, and we have what we call extras. So they work basically on the, how do you call it, work for hire. I can't remember the English expression, but it's when we need staff, we have a very important list of people that are willing to work for us on work for hire. I think it's called work for hire.
It's like a 0-hours contract, so where you just pay them for... Yeah. An hourly
wage. We call
wage.
It extras.
Yeah. There you go. And that's for the bar staff, I'm guessing, exactly. And cleaners. And
exactly. And then we have our production personnel. Those are, I would say, the most important ones in running the venue, because you need to know the venue, you need to know the production side, you have contact with the artist, production managers, sound engineer, light engineer, etc. These are usually indépendant, so yes. Independent workers that are working for the atelier.
For a long time, for yes. 30 years.
30 years.
And the extras, are you looking for new extras all the time, or is there a core crew that you...
Oh.
It's core crew, okay. So it's not a holiday job you're going to get if you're a student.
No, because to us it's very important, because it's they have the contact with the customer. It's important that they are multilingual, that they are friendly. It's a quality that is being lost nowadays, isn't it?
Two reasons I couldn't get the job then. Multilingual and friendly. I'll fail on both. Excellent. Well, we know a bit now about the business and how it works. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with some of the tour questions. Thank you for coming home. Sorry the chairs are all worn. No, it is not a comment on the state of RTL Studio 9, but another song lyric. Any idea, Michelle, who the song lyric is?
No.
As a punk man, I'd be surprised if you did know. It is the opening lyrics of Gold by Spandau Ballet, whose lead singer, Tony Hadley, will be performing at Denatelia on November the 11th. Get your tickets now. Welcome back to Office Hours. In part one, Michelle Velter taught me about Luxembourg's music scene, and I want to get to some of those chewier questions. And you touched on one to start with in part one about bands and when they do their tours, you reach out. Now, what my friends tell me is that bands start their European tours in Luxembourg because that's where they pay their tax during their tour, and it's advantageous. Is that true or not?
Not to my knowledge. In fact, it's wrong to my knowledge, because you do pay tax in Luxembourg, whereas you pay in other countries, you don't pay tax. For instance, the Netherlands, the artist revenue is tax-free for a non-resident artist. So if an UK artist goes to perform in the Netherlands, they pay no tax. The fee is tax-exempt, whereas here in Luxembourg, it's 10%.
So we get good artists here then. So what's the draw here? Is it the convenience? How do you sell Luxembourg to the artists as a place to come?
Well, money is always... I hate to say, but it's always the driving argument, because you need to make a serious offer for them. You know, it's for them, it's an enterprise, and it's an enterprise that lasts a month, 2 months, and they need to, you know, take out as much as they can. So if they play a date, it needs to cover their they do have costs. Even a small band that comes to, say, the atelier, they have one or two buses to run, they have a crew to pay. So it does cost them money. And so money will always be an argument. Of course, if you have an existing relation with the agent, he's going to be more inclined to listen to you or look at your offer than you are a newbie and you start from scratch. And I think it's very important to us that we always come across as a serious business partner and a good promoter and people who know what they do production-wise. So we never joke on these aspects.
Yeah. So you get the more often you exceed that amount and you start to give them the extra over the guarantee that you were talking about in the start. If you do that more for agents, then they're more likely to recommend to their artists they come.
Yeah, and if they are well received, if the backstage works, if the production was decent and if sales were decent, you know, they do want their artists to be successful. So if you don't sell enough tickets, you're not going to make it in the long run. And that's where the atelier comes into play. The venue itself is really a beloved venue among artists. You do have some artists, they could play big, they don't want to. Pixies, for instance, they always come back.
Yep.
Always. Now, you said that some artists start the tour in Luxembourg. That's true for some artists, mainly bigger artists, because you can start off at the Rock Hall. They rent the venue a couple of days prior, so they can rehearse the production. And the first show being the first run, you're less exposed media-wise.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah,
I guess. Nothing against Luxembourgish media.
if they have a bad show, it's
in
not
Paris,
good.
Yeah. The impact is going to be different than, say, in Luxembourg. So that comes into play. We always, for instance, with our Lux Expo shows, we will try to be the convenient guys in between the bigger dates. So we were willing to accept a show, say, on a Monday or a Tuesday, because we know that they will play a big festival on the weekend, or you know, we are aware that Luxembourg is, it's not even a B market, it's a C market. So don't get our hopes up. You try and get them when they have time to come to Luxembourg.
Well, you're doing a good job at it, because there are good acts that come through. We seem to get a good set of musicians and bands coming through, so thank you for the flexibility in selling Luxembourg to them. A couple of other, I've got a random question for you. One thing I'm really surprised by, when I go past the Gare and I go down Rue de Hollerich, you still do advertising by sticking up bill posters. Is that not illegal to stick posters everywhere nowadays? Is that an efficient way of advertising the bands? Tell me a bit about that.
Yes, we do still put up posters, but it's not comparable to what we did, say, 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, the communication was based, I don't have the figures in my head, they don't come up, but I would say postering must have been like 50% or 60% of the spend, the marketing spend. I mean, I'm talking prior to Facebook days and social media.
So you were out there with your bucket of glue sticking the posters
on
the walls?
No, we do have... Our jobs is sometimes comprised of crappy jobs, but we didn't have to put up the posters ourselves. But the commercialization part has completely changed. I mean, I remember the day when I created the Atelier Facebook account. Social media has completely changed le paradigme. So the communication part has been completely switched around.
Yeah.
But yes, we do some postering, and sometimes I think it's actually cool. Like, we created a cool metal poster by a local artist. Yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm a vintage nostalgic guy.
You're a punk rocker. I've never seen one put them up. Do they go and put them out at night time, or do they do it in secret? Or is that
apparently it's small dwarfs that do it at midnight.
Okay.
No, it's local companies that do what we call the wild postering, which has been reduced dramatically, and then you have the big commercial companies that do the bus stops, etc. And those have become so tremendously expensive that to us, you know, the campaign cost divided by increase of ticket sales, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Do you get complaints from the council, from the government, from the commune on where you put the bill posters? Do they just...
No, because
we put them in sensible places?
No, we do it dans les règles de l'art, so we do ask permission.
Okay.
You need, because you can't just put up posters.
That's what I thought. I'm just seeing them coming
you
up.
You need to have an authorization, and we did some where we do a more... In-depth postering campaign is for open-air events, because obviously the budgets are tremendously bigger. So we do a campaign for these shows, and that's an officially registered, you need to have permission, etc.
Yeah. So I'm going to finish with a last question. For me, it's probably the most important one. I love Denatelli as a concert, and one of my friends said to me, it's the only concert venue you can go to, you feel close to the act, and then you go and get a beer and you can find your friends where they were stood. Everywhere else you get lost. So we love Denatelli. Is it safe from the development that's going to happen at Nye Hollerich?
I would certainly hope so. I'm not sure, but I would certainly hope so.
So there are no plans to knock it down and include it into the development at the moment?
We had quite a few, over the time, reflections on new venues that we could build, operate. But I think the Atelier as a club, as a venue, is an absolute asset for the cultural landscape of a city and of the country. And you can't just ignore that. If we are a private-run company or public company, take every capital of or bigger cities in Europe, take a look at France, Nancy, Strasbourg, they all have this club activity in the cultural landscape of that city. And I think it's an absolute important contribution to the social life. You know, Luxembourg has to grow. Growth is very important to Luxembourg, to the government actions. And we do need the foreign people coming to Luxembourg, and the expats. It's a community that is tremendously important to us. Well, how do these people choose where to go work? Yes, it's the job, but it's also what is the cultural offering? Yeah. What is happening? Is there a good restaurant scene? Can I go out? Is there a good music scene? Can I go to shows? And I think concerts do play an important part in the attractivity of a country and of a city. And I think, you know, imagining Luxembourg City without the Atelier in Rue de Hollerich, I'm not sure.
You heard it here first. So Den Atelier is privately run. Use it. Keep those acts coming. Keep selling those tickets. Then they'll keep coming and we'll continue to punch above our weight as a city and get good acts and good cultural experiences coming to what is a very small city at the end of the day. So if people want to get in contact or find out more about what's going on in the music scene, how would they get in contact or which website should they check out?
Straightforward, it's atelier.lu.
So thank you for joining me on the show today, and thank you to the listeners.
Thank you.